colleagues. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue unless otherwise noted. The Finance Committee meets on the third Thursday at 4:30 p.m.
It's 5 o'clock. You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM and on the web at kboo.fm. And now it's time for your evening news.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Coming up on the KBOO Evening News, Portland police shooting victim Patrick Kimmons would have been 28 years old on Monday. His family plans a ceremony to commemorate his life.
The Portland City Council returned her professionalism award to the Multnomah Bar Association.
And in international news, Twitter shut down hundreds of accounts linked to nations at odds with the United States government.
Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Friday, June 14th, 2019. I'm Liam Delta.
And I'm Lisa Loving. A circuit court judge has ruled on the Honest Elections Oregon reforms passed by voters last year, and it's a mixed bag for voters. The campaign contribution limits in the measure are being struck down as unconstitutional, but the clause requiring disclosure of who paid for political ads stays. The court will also allow the requirement that groups making more than $750 in contributions must register as political committees. After the reforms were passed by voters, the City of Portland sent them to the Multnomah County Court for a, quote, validation proceeding to determine whether they violated the Constitution. The Willamette Week reports that Oregon courts have repeatedly struck down limits on campaign contributions. Honest Elections Oregon would have limited campaign contributions as well as campaign spending.
The Oregon House of Representatives voted to create an Office of Equity as part of an effort to improve the workplace culture. They also agreed to overhaul a rule addressing harassment and discrimination. The move came after multiple complaints about sexual harassment prompted an Oregon Bureau of Labor and Industries investigation. That investigation concluded the state had not done enough to stop inappropriate actions. It now goes to the Senate. Republican Representative Mike McLean of Prineville testified yesterday that some of the language in their new rule could limit free speech. In February 2018, former Republican Senator Jeff Cruz resigned his position after an investigation revealed that he had a pattern of unwanted touching and harassment. Two of his former legislative interns, both law students, have sued, claiming legislative leaders knew of the harassment and failed to protect them. Republican Representative Denise Bowles of Salem said yesterday, quote, "I can speak for many women in this body. We spent many years dismissing and ignoring bad behavior because it was simply easier. I'm proud today that we have decided not to do that anymore."
Portland's top city attorney, Tracy Reeve, this week returned a professionalism award to the Multnomah Bar Association because one of her staff made a racist remark as she received the award, but Reeve did not rebuke him when she made her acceptance speech. The Oregonian reports today that Reeve apologized to the Bar Association in a June 6th letter for what she called her lack of professionalism in failing to publicly repudiate the staff member, Simon Wang, in the moment. Wang wrote his own letter to the Bar Association board saying he had made, quote, "a joke intended to be edgy, but that was, in fact, tasteless and offensive." The offending part of the remark conflated the N-word and the F-word. Wang described the remark as, quote, "inappropriate, offensive, and yes, racist." A city human resources official confirmed that Wang has resigned.
Last September, two Portland police officers shot and killed 27-year-old black man and father Patrick Kimmons. in a downtown parking lot near the intersection of Southwest 4th Avenue and Harvey Milk. Kimmon's 28th birthday is this coming Monday, June 17th, and his mother, Letha Winston, is holding a celebration of his life at the intersection where he was killed. The event is being held from 4 to 7 p.m., and the community is welcome to attend. A Facebook page for the event with further details can be found on the page for the group Pacific Northwest Family Circle, an association of families who have lost loved ones to police violence. KABU reporter Sam Bowman spoke with Letha Winston yesterday about the event and her other organizing and protest efforts.
So there's an event planned for Monday in memory of Patrick. Where's it going to be and what's going to be going on?
Okay, so his birthday, June 17th is his birthday.
Okay.
And he's going to be having a celebration, a celebration visual downtown on 3rd and Harvey where he was murdered at. There'll be free hot dogs, free soda, free water. We will be releasing balloons and saying prayer and just having a big celebration for Patrick. And we also will be protesting at the same time while having the celebration for Patrick. We will be protesting for justice as well. Patrick would have been 28 years old on the 17th had not the police murdered my son.
I remember the last time we spoke that you had been protesting at City Hall. Among other things, you were demanding the release of the original video footage that you'd seen. What has been the result of your demands to the city?
There is no results at this time. I went my last meeting there with Ted Wheeler and Joanne Hardesty. Ted Wheeler, I told him what I had to say about the video and about the police being held accountable for their action. And he looked at Joanne Hardesty and asked her, "Do you have anything to say or any answers?" You know, towards Letha Winston, and she shook her head no. And he said, "Thanks for coming." So for all the murders that was questioned to him, all he had to say was, "Thanks for coming."
Wow, was that the entirety of that meeting?
Yeah. And so just a couple of days ago, as I was sitting down at work thinking, that's not only the video that I demand to see. There's another video circling around somewhere because they stopped the video after the shots was fired. But where is the front of the video? It didn't stop right there. That video kept going. So where is the rest of the video where we can see the police actually over Patrick and the rest of it? That video was a lot longer than that.
Yeah, because it was a surveillance video, right? So it would have just kept running, I imagine.
It would have kept running for the whole entire thing. So where is the rest of the video is the question.
So on Monday, what are you calling for with your protest?
We demand justice. We demand the end of his life's video. I want to see the end of my son's life video. What was you guys doing with my son at the end of his life when he collapsed on the ground and when you guys got over him? What I want to see from that point on, where's the rest of the video? We know you edited the beginning of the video, but where's the rest of the video?
What other organizing efforts have you been involved in the meantime here?
I am with Pacific Family Circle. I had joined them in Feed the Fire a couple weeks ago. Feed the Fire is another protest that we do in remembrance of all our soldiers that have lost their lives due to police killings. I get out here by myself and protest at Multnomah County Courthouse as well. I go to Northeast Precinct on MLK and Killingsworth as well. So I'm pretty much all over. And I'm also working on opening up an organization called Mothers Movement as we hold police accountable is what it's going to be called. So I got a lot of things that I'm working on right now.
When you say you show up at North Precinct, do you invite members of the public to join you in that?
I do. I do Facebook events, pages every time I go. And when we go over there to Northeast, we we rage pretty loud. We draw a lot of attention. A lot of people don't know what's going on. They stop, they get out. Crew workers that's working on the pavement, they don't know what's going on. They stop, they get out, hold up a sign. So yeah, we get out here, and I have a pretty good team.
Do you have one of those planned for any time coming up soon?
So after Patrick's celebration, we are going to move forward on to back to our marching, because we're going to go ahead and march the whole month of June. We want to get a large community nationwide, hold police accountable, march together, peaceful march together. We want the nation, everybody from everywhere, Vancouver, Washington, wherever you're coming from, to come join us for this event that's going to be coming up in downtown Portland at Multnomah County Courthouse. We want a large amount of people. We need to get out here and protest and make this police precinct do their job the correct way and not just shoot to kill.
What day is that happening?
So Patrick's celebration is on the 17th, so we're going to go ahead and that next following Wednesday after that will be the protest at Multnomah County Courthouse.
All right. And that's in the morning, you said?
That'll be from, we usually start at 10, so I'll say we'll get there about 9 to 2. We usually end at about 2.
All right. And just wrapping up, I want to ask you what's giving you hope in this these days? I mean, you've expressed a lot of pessimism with the system itself.
Well, I can say this. It's been some sad times and it's been some bad times. I had a lawyer quit on me, but that's okay. I'm okay with that. You know, I just got to pick up the pieces from that and get another one. But our last visual that we had for Patrick a couple weeks ago, I had the guy come down and speak with me from a business over there. And we briefly had a strong conversation about where Patrick was murdered at. The parking lot there does not want us standing on the sidewalk. They're being racist. The police pulled up and told us to make sure you move your son off the bushes when you get done. And very racist. That's exactly how he stated it. The parking lot they covered up my son's crime scene where he was murdered. They don't want us going there having visuals. And this guy that owned the business over there, that runs the business over there, is going to talk to some people about seeing if we can maybe put a permanent mark there for Patrick.
Wow. Well, Letha, is there anything you'd like to add?
I'd just like to say to the community that we all need to come together, whether we black, white, green, purple, we all believe the same. It can happen to you guys. Y'all could get that phone call that I got just by a mistake and have your kids taken away from you in a matter of seconds by the Portland police. We all know that, hey, they do got to do their job, but their job is not to shoot somebody from behind. If you shoot somebody from the front and they running towards you, I can understand. But if you shoot somebody's child from behind, or if they on their knees with their hands up, they not a fear to you. You know, they're not fear. You shouldn't be feared from that. So I say to the community right now, you guys need to take a stand. Stop hiding behind these Facebook pages saying, oh, yeah, hold police accountable. It's not hard to get out and hold up a sign and be heard. Come to the mayor's office Wednesday mornings. They have meetings about this stuff. Sign your name on this book. Get up here and speak. Even though Ted Weaver going to look at you like you're crazy, but the more people we get, the more I think we can get justice and at least have the police held accountable for some of the stuff that they're doing. It's not the most people, it's black African American that's being targeted. We get pulled over more than anybody in United States of America. So I just ask for the community to please come out and help me celebrate my son's 28th birthday, June 17th, downtown Portland, 3rd and Harvey. It's an event page on there under Family Circle. Please come down there, free food, free drinks. soda pop protesting. We're going to have a bunch of fun, celebrate his life, let off balloons, say a prayer. So please come to my events. I would appreciate it. Thank you to the community members that has reached out and helped me. I mean, it's sad for me, but I got to keep living. I got to keep breathing. But I just, again, I want to say thank you. And remember to hold police accountable. You see a police officer, you want to yell, hold police accountable, because they need to hold police accountable. The mayor, Ted Wheeler, Joanne Hardesty, chief of police, need to get together and do something about these police murdering us. They're not doing their job correct. Don't shoot to kill. There's other places on humans' bodies that you can shoot other than shoot 9 times on a 27-year-old and shoot him 9 times in the back. That's ridiculous. You guys need to get together as a team and make something happen instead of just saying, the chief of police saying every time somebody, the police kill somebody, you get up there and say, oh, my fellow officers had to do their job. That's not true. I don't dislike either one of them. I'm just saying, I'm speaking what's true. It's not right. It's not right.
Letha Winston, thank you so much for talking with me tonight.
You are very welcome, Sam. Thank you.
For KBOO Evening News, I'm Sam Bowman. I've been speaking with Letha Winston, the mother of Patrick Kimmons, who was shot to death last year by Portland police officers.
Campers at the Lake Oahe Dam in eastern Oregon were stranded on Wednesday by mudslides touched off by severe thunderstorms. About 120 campers were stranded, but about 40 were able to leave if they chose Thursday after crews cleared a slide blocking access to Camp High Cliff. Yesterday afternoon, about 80 campers remained stranded, and crews were still clearing slides farther up the road south of the dam. The Oregon Parks and Recreation Department said Lake Oahe State Park will be closed until crews can assess road conditions. Authorities said one vehicle was caught in a slide and that the occupants escaped without injury.
Listening to the KBOO Evening News. Stay tuned after this newscast for Counterspin. At 6, The Struggle with Elisa Pariah, your friendly neighborhood agitator. Then at 7, Rising Up with Sonali. Tonight's weather mostly clear with lows around 52 degrees, and tomorrow sunny and 80 degrees. Today in history, in 1381, the Peasants' Revolt in England, led by Wat Tyler, climaxes when rebels plunder and burn the Tower of London and kill the Archbishop of Canterbury. The quote of the day is from William Shakespeare. He said, "O God, that one might read the book of fate and see the revolution of the times make mountains level, and the continent, weary of solid firmness, melt itself into the sea."
Prosecutors stunned the city of Flint, Michigan yesterday by dropping all pending charges against officials accused of ruining the community's drinking water. 15 state and local officials, including emergency managers who ran the city and a member of the governor's cabinet, had been accused by state prosecutors of crimes as serious as involuntary manslaughter. 7 had already taken plea deals. 8 more, including most of the highest-ranking officials, were awaiting trial. On Thursday, more than 3 years after the first charges were filed, the Michigan Attorney General's office, which earlier this year passed from Republican to Democratic hands, abruptly dropped the 8 remaining cases. Prosecutors left open the possibility of recharging some of those same people, and perhaps others as well. Flint resident Melissa Mays said, quote, "This is not justice. It just seems like a political ploy. The only thing it tells me is our lives don't matter." Flint's water crisis started in 2014 when a state-appointed emergency manager switched the city's drinking water source from Detroit's municipal water system to the Flint River in an attempt to save money.
Earlier this week, President Donald Trump told ABC News that he would probably accept opposition information offered by a foreign national if given the chance in 2020. He also said he might not tell the FBI about it, even though Bureau Director Christopher Wray said such assistance would need to be reported. Political Reports, the head of the Federal Election Commission, released a statement last night reiterating, emphatically, that foreign assistance is illegal in U.S. elections. FEC Chair Ellen Weintraub said, quote, "Let me make something 100% clear to the American public and anyone running for public office. It is illegal for any person to solicit, accept, or receive anything of value from a foreign national in connection with the U.S. election. This is not a novel concept," unquote. Trump told ABC News George Stephanopoulos that hearing foreign election information was not election interference, but rather oppo research.
The Justice Department says Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin was right to withhold President Donald Trump's tax returns from a House committee that subpoenaed them. The legal statement issued today agreed with Mnuchin's argument that the request lacked a, quote, legitimate legislative purpose. The House Ways and Means Committee subpoenaed 6 years of Trump's tax returns in May, but the Treasury Department refused to provide the documents. The Justice Department's Office of Legal Counsel found that the committee's chairman, Representative Richard Neal, a Democrat from Massachusetts, wanted to make the president's tax returns public. That goal, the official said, was not a legitimate legislative function.
And now it's time for today's report from National Native News, the daily newscast dedicated to Indigenous news, issues, and culture.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. A U.S. House of Representatives committee has rejected the Trump administration's attempt to defund a Native American scholarship program. Arizona Public Radio's Ryan Heinches reports it was the second time the White House has tried to eliminate the higher education grant.
The Bureau of Indian Affairs administers the program that assists thousands of tribal students nationwide in attending and graduating from college. But the Trump administration announced in March it was cutting all of the grant's nearly $40 million in funding for the 2020 fiscal year. The House Subcommittee on Interior Appropriations has now requested the program's annual funding instead increase to nearly $52 million. The Navajo Nation is one of the larger recipients of the grant. Rose Graham directs the tribe's Office of Scholarship and Financial Assistance and predicts college graduation rates among tribal members would fall without the federal grant.
Here on Navajo, as well as throughout the nation, higher education is a powerful force for change. It's important for our young people to have a college degree. It makes a huge difference.
Last year, the Navajo Nation provided partial scholarships to more than 4,100 students using the higher education grant. Graham says her office can only fund about half the applications it receives under current levels, but with the proposed increase, she hopes to boost the number. The U.S. Senate will now consider the grant's expansion. For National Native News, I'm Ryan Heinches in Flagstaff.
This week, a bipartisan group of U.S. senators on the Indian Affairs Committee introduced legislation to address law enforcement and public safety in Indian Country. The Bridging Agency Data Gaps and Ensuring Safety for Native Communities Act improves law enforcement recruitment, tribal access to federal criminal databases, and seeks to improve coordination between federal, state, tribal, and local law enforcement agencies. It's intended to give tribes and states resources to coordinate responses to missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls cases. The bill is expected to get a legislative hearing next week in the Senate Committee on Indian Affairs. A number of tribal leaders and Native groups are backing the bill. In Minnesota, the Minneapolis Park and Recreation Board voted this week to officially change the name of Lake Calhoun Park to Bede-Mikaska Park, KSTP reports. It's one of the latest moves involving the controversial name change. A few years ago, a group in Minneapolis successfully moved to reclaim the lake's Dakota name. They received approval of the Minneapolis Park Board, the State Department of Natural Resources, and the U.S. Board of Geographic Names. But in April, a court ruled the State Department of Natural Resources did not have the authority to rename the lake. The Resources Department is appealing that decision. There's also a proposal to rename four roads which contain the name Calhoun. A public comment period on the street names is currently taking place, with a public hearing to be held in August. The New Mexico Indian Affairs Department announced this week more than $14 million in funding will go to help 11 tribal communities improve infrastructure. Tribal leaders say a lack of basic infrastructure needs impact the health, social, and economic conditions of their communities. State leaders say projects are essential and often long overdue. The funding will help tribes with water projects, roads, construction of a Head Start program, and the design of a fire station. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation with funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
The Gulf of Mexico is expected to have one of the largest dead zones in history this year. A dead zone is a water area with very low oxygen, making it uninhabitable for life forms. First noticed in the 1970s, every year a dead zone appears in the Gulf, and CNN reports that for decades, scientists have studied their growth. This July, Louisiana State scientists say they expect one of the biggest ever to emerge, and that it will be about the size of the state of New Jersey. Specifically, scientists predict 8,717 square miles of bad water will emerge at the bottom of the continental shelf off Louisiana and Texas. The biggest ever dead zone in the Gulf of Mexico grew in 2017 and was 8,776 square miles.
Social media platform Twitter has released details of their latest round of canceled accounts in countries in conflict with the U.S. KBOO's Emery Mort has more.
Twitter's head of site integrity, Yoel Roth, detailed the cancellation of accounts from Venezuela, Russia, the Catalan independence movement in Spain, and most prominently, Iran. In the post, Twitter claims they have a responsibility to protect the integrity of the public conversation. Therefore, they must cancel accounts that advocate for the position of the Iranian and Venezuelan governments. Both the Iranian and Venezuelan people are being starved and deprived of medicine in large part due to criminal U.S. sanctions and are daily threatened with invasion by the U.S. military. The phrase responsibility to protect, used by Twitter, is the phrase used by liberal U.S. leaders like Samantha Power, who advocate for U.S. and NATO regime change operations that have ended with disastrous results in Libya, Iraq, Syria, and other countries. Twitter canceled just under 5,000 accounts from Iran. In their explanation for canceling 1,600 of those Iranian accounts, Twitter says the accounts manipulated the platform by, quote, tweeting global news content, often with an angle that benefited the diplomatic and geostrategic views of the Iranian state, unquote. Another 250 Iranian accounts were canceled because they engaged in discussion of Israel, a state that seeks to overthrow and invade the Iranian people and their government. With this latest round, Twitter has now canceled almost 800 accounts from Venezuela, originally claiming the accounts were Russian, but now admitting their further analysis shows that they were in fact manipulating the public. For KBOO News, I'm Emery Mort.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News for Friday, June 14th, 2019. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories and tips at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Ron Bede, Emery Mort, and Sam Bowman. Our engineer is Ray Bodwell. The interim director of Evening News and Public Affairs is myself, Lisa Loving. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Lisa Loving.
And I'm Liam Delta. Coming up Monday morning on KBOO at 7, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8 on More Talk Radio, Cecil and Celeste talk to David Woolman and Julian Smith, authors of Aloha Rodeo, Three Hawaiian Cowboys, The World's Greatest Rodeo, and A Hidden History of the American West. At 9, the Old Mole Variety Hour burrows down to the roots of the great issues of our time, the struggles of ordinary people for democratic and sustainable ways of life. At 10, Locus Focus talks to Signal Fire's co-director and operations coordinator, Eden Redman. They'll talk about how Signal Fire connects artists and the environment and activists working to protect it. At 11, First Voices Radio has an exclusive audio premiere of Keepers of the Pass, a documentary that covers the two-year saga of the ordeal brought by the Ramapo Lenape of New Jersey and their right to prey on land they own across the road from a private community that did not want them there. Don't forget that you can hear all these programs after they air on KBOO.FM or on iTunes and Google Play. Good night, all.
Good night, honey.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the 50th anniversary of Oxamoxwa with the Garcia Birthday Band on Friday, June 14th at 8 p.m. at the Aladdin Theater in Portland. Oxamoxwa is a 1969 album by the Grateful Dead. Fans and critics alike consider this era to be the band's experimental apex. The Garcia Birthday Band is a group of veteran musicians interpreting and celebrating the repertoire of the late Jerry Garcia and the Grateful Dead. Again, that's the 50th anniversary of Oxamoxwa with the Garcia Birthday Band on Friday, June 14th at 8 p.m. at the Aladdin Theater, 3017 Southeast Milwaukee Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of